Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loud and Local with Kevin Deers rolls on 99.9 KISW.
It's Loud and Local, the stay home sessions here. We're doing things collaboratively via Zoom app. I think Zoom is like their stocks are going to go up like exponentially over the next few weeks. Like, there are so many people that are downloading this app. So anyways, this is Kevin Deers here on Stay Home Sessions. I got Aline and Wes. They're an awesome two-person project here in the Seattle area. But first off, where am I talking to you guys from? First off, Wes, where are you located right now? And then Aline, where in Seattle are you guys?
Well, you mentioned how Zoom stock is going to go up. I'm actually, you know, in Zoom is most Americans aren't going to want to, you know, take this in consideration, but it's a Russian company.
Uh-oh.
And I'm in Russia as well. So, no, I'm joking.
Oh, okay.
it's probably a terrible way to start out, but, no, I am, I'm around the Linwood Edmonds area.
Okay. Nice.
And now I'm now being watched by KGB because I said that.
Oh my gosh. They're going to put a tracker on the Linwood area just and be like,
right.
Where is Wes?
Scary.
Aline, are you in Seattle or are you on the up north too?
Currently, I'm staying with family in Everett until things resume possible.
Yeah.
To go normalcy.
Whatever the new normal is, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. So I guess that brings us to my question to start things off is how are you guys staying sane and staying safe within this kind of crazy, unprecedented time? Aline, let's start with you.
Sure. Whenever I see something that could be proactive for the musician community, I try to post it, how we can try to be constructive through this crazy time and also make a point to exercise. So, you know, doing anything that's positive as far as my schedule.
Yeah.
Make sure everything's blocked out to apply for every type of grant that exists.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. And how about you, Wes? How are you staying busy and sane and safe, especially?
Well, I would first say I'm not really, but what I'm attempting to do to hold on to the remaining sanity is just working on songs.
Cool.
So Aline and I wrote a number of songs kind of, we wrote a number of songs when we kind of started this whole project, but we just narrowed it down to the four that we put on the EP.
Yeah.
And then kind of kept writing and then started finalizing some things towards the end of last year. And so thankfully, you know, through whatever you want to call it, luck, chance, or preparation, we were able to actually make several demos, like, before this all kind of happened, before
awesome.
It really got to this point, right? And so we've been able to remain active by, you know, just doing kind of this very thing, or using Google Hangouts, and discussing the songs and kind of how we want to go about them in general. So just also just exercising, you know, exercising is pretty essential. You know, thankfully we can at least still, you know, go outside.
Yeah.
We're not actually completely, you know, house
locked out.
We're not under house arrest.
Right.
At least not yet. them.
So are you a visual artist too? Because I see some pretty, I mean, this isn't a video chat that people, but we are doing this via Zoom, so we are seeing each other, and there's some pretty amazing like paintings and art behind you. Is that your artwork? Oh, yeah, or?
It's not my artwork. I do some visual stuff, but I can't do anything like you can see behind me. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I'm close to that good. But what you see is, you see a Starhead Boy. You see Ryan Henry Ward. He goes by Henry, right?
Oh yeah. He's awesome. He's all over Seattle.
Henry being, you know, one of the, he's in the Guinness Book of World Records for murals. He's created the most, I believe, the most murals in the world.
That's crazy.
An astounding number. But then there's also Andrew Mantis Art Miller. There's also Xavier Lopez. Those are all the artists behind me. The cool thing about these is they painted, a lot of these paintings were made during live shows.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
That's awesome.
It helps with inspiration.
Yeah, I imagine. So, let's kind of get the backstory of you guys. So, obviously, you guys are collaborating a two-piece, really, really cool. And we'll be getting into the music here in just a few. But I wanted to know the backstory about you two. How'd you meet and how did you start collaborating?
Oh, I'm taking it?
Yeah.
Nice. I'll make sure to do that to you in the next one. all right. Well, so what was it? So the story for it's a little different for the both of us. My story is a friend of mine from Tennessee was in town, and I wanted to take him to the High Dive, and just, you know, sometimes I really love the High Dive at the venue in Fremont, and I've played there several times. But anyways. We roll into the High Dive and Aline was singing and I was just taken aback by her voice. I thought it was beautiful and, you know, kind of stuck around and then I guess just by, you know, again, I made the statement earlier kind of by luck or by chance or preparation, what kind of, however you want to take it, maybe all three. She came to a show of mine and, then we just kind of kept in touch. And eventually I just reached out and said, hey, do you want to try to write a song together? And, the first time we got together to write a song, that would that have been in 2018?
Yeah, maybe the very end of 2018.
The very end of 2018. We got together and immediately wrote a song from start to completion. If I remember correctly, maybe it was 98% complete. Liked it. And then it was just like, okay, well that felt pretty natural. Mm-hmm. Let's try again. And then it kind of kept growing from there.
Mm-hmm. How quickly did you guys realize that you had some musical chemistry?
Oh, it was pretty seamless. I don't know. We listen to different types of music, but I've always liked rock and blues, and to me, that's at the root of most music.
Yeah.
So it just seemed. I don't know. You know, sometimes you work with someone and you have to make it work. You don't have to do that. We just write pretty easily together.
Awesome. Well, are you two able to, collaborate via Zoom or Skype or anything during this time? Or have you two done any, like, band meetings over Skype? Or, or you kind of just have to, you know, make do, whatnot?
Yeah, we've actually created a schedule and we meet at least three times a week.
That's cool.
Possibly more, just depending on. But, you know, like I was mentioning before, the fact that we're working on a new album, being able to collaborate is very key. So, it's kind of sending tracks back and forth and just getting them where we want them to be.
Yeah.
Right now and just discussing them, you know, there's been a pretty good deal of technical discussions because we're trying to actually figure out how to work on tracks in real time, which is pretty difficult. Especially without, you know, subscribing to something. And even when subscribing to something, it seems to be, there's some obstacles involved, everyone's internet, everyone's Wi-Fi connection seems to be pushed to the limits these days.
So. Yeah, there's always a tiny bit of a lag.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, it seems to be happening with everyone. So, mm-hmm. You know, because we're all home and that's what we're kind of reliant on now.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the EP. So you guys are working on a new thing, a new album, and I'm looking forward to hearing that. But let's play some stuff from your EP, Lavender Lemonade. But before we do, where did you guys record the EP, and how long did you guys spend on it?
Majority we recorded at Wes's.
Cool.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We prepared the songs. So yeah. Basically, like, we demoed out all the songs and kind of had the arrangements set out, but we recorded it at Earwig Studio with Don Farewell.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. So Don, you know, if you're familiar with Don, he has done a number of Seattle artists, and he is an exceptional engineer. He's a fantastic engineer. He is a scientist of sound.
I like that. Scientist of sound. Well, we're going to play two songs from it right now. So we're going to jump into Work Is Never Done and Place to Belong. Do you want to say anything about these songs?
Sure. At the time, we were thinking about how divisive politics were and, mm-hmm. you know, things that we observe in our life with the homeless, and thinking about everybody, regardless of what side of the line they stand on, is looking for a place to call home. So that was a big motivation for why we wrote that song.
Right on. So we're going to go into Work Is Never Done and Place to Belong. It's Aline and Wes, and we'll be back with more here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions.
Yeah.
back here on the Stay Home Sessions Loud and Local. We're doing this thing the best we can right now. And you know what? I promise you guys, when the things start to get back to a semblance of normalcy, we'll all hang out in the station and we'll do a normal episode of Loud and Local. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Yeah, sounds great, yeah.
All right, cool. Well, we're making do with what we have now, and this is all collaborative via the internet. So, you know what? Maybe if this was like 30 years ago, I think we would... It would be harder to, like, you know, see each other and everything. But, you know, back when I was a little kid, just the idea of a video phone was so insane. And now we have this at the fingertips. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
What have been some of the most inspirational things that you guys have seen coming out of this? Because I know that a lot of I know that the necessity has bred a lot of you know, kind of positivity in a way, but also more so creativity. Has there been anything that you guys have been, like, you know, live streams or anything that have stood out to you as something cool to watch?
I think it was Coldplay's live stream was really cool. But spiritually, you get a chance to clearly see who your true friends and family are.
Mm-hmm.
And I really appreciate that clarity in spending time with them and knowing that they're around. You can see them all kind of step forward.
Yeah.
And step up to the plate and help each other out. It's really awesome to see.
Right on. How about you, Wes? Anything?
I think Italy was, you know, with all the people playing music from the balconies, that was really cool to see that. That was, you know, it's one thing to witness it on video, and I'm sure it was even more amazing to actually, like, hear that, live in real time and be there. So that's one thing, you know, also in, I believe it was in Venice, you know, the canals, there's been, like, significantly less pollution.
Yeah.
So there's been that footage of dolphins going through the canals there, which is, you know, that's just amazing as well. Apparently, just because, you know, you can imagine how many boats are going through there mm-hmm. and very polluted in that area. And now there's hardly any. As far as performance, I think seeing the people sing and perform from their balconies was really cool. And then also just kind of seeing how it's, you know, I think another historical context of, like, you know, how this is kind of affecting not only us as people, but also just we can actually see somewhat of the impact on the environment.
Totally. Absolutely. And I sorry to spring that random question on you. I was just kind of, you're just curious. So anyways, we'll just get back to, you know, I want to know about you guys personally and your backstory. So, Aline, let's start with you. Even if it's embarrassing, you know, I want to know, what was the first CD or tape or album that you purchased on your own when you were a little kid with your own money?
You know what? I really don't remember the first one that I bought, but I do remember I used to save my babysitting money.
Nice.
And go to Tower Records.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I would visit my father in California, I would just stack up the records. And I remember being excited about, like, Purple Rain because of the movie and having that poster. Mm-hmm. And then I call Metallica my gateway. Someone told me, because there was a period of my life where I was, like, only listening to rap music.
Yeah.
And then someone told me, you have to listen to the Black Album. I was like, what? That's crazy. So I listened to that and I totally converted and started, like, headbanging. Weird.
Nice.
That's a great story.
Thrasher Lean. Nice. What about you, Wes?
What I remember, so I remember go as a young, you know, I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I went through a phase of, I think it was fifth grade
mm-hmm.
of, my dad. I remember I begged my dad, my sister and I begged my dad to get us New Kids on the Block.
Hey, yeah. Okay.
And we got it. And then I remember probably the next year, I remember taking my BB gun out and shooting that.
Like, I'm too cool for that now.
So I went from being, like, a boy band to being a punk rocker.
Nice. Rejecting your roots of boy band, right?
Yeah. So I destroyed that tape with a BB bullet. I remember that. But as far as, like, me purchasing myself with my own money, I do have a recollection of buying OK Computer.
Oh, yeah.
Radiohead's OK Computer. I believe that's their third album, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pablo Honey. I don't remember the other one in the OK Computer. But anyways,
the Benz,
I remember...
Yeah,
the Benz. Thank you. Saved me there. I walked into the record store. I didn't know anything about Radiohead at the time. I probably had heard their music, but didn't know, unknowingly. But I saw the album art, and I thought, that is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to get it. And I looked at the titles in the back. They're also very strange. Yep. 2 + 2 = 5. And I'm like, I've never heard a title like that before. And so I remember on the way home, my sister and I were listening to it, and we both did the thing where we looked at each other and just went, wow.
Yeah.
Like it felt like time had stopped for a moment.
Yeah.
We had, you know, nothing else mattered except for that music. In that moment, you know, I don't remember anything about the drive home. I just remember the music.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think that was, you know, a new opening in sonically hearing music for the first time as well.
That's the one that made the impact. That's cool. And what was kind of the gateway to maybe inspire you and maybe it wasn't even an artist. Maybe it wasn't even a song or a live performance. Maybe it was a family member or, you know, a church that you attended or anything. What was the inspiration or light bulb moment that made you realize you wanted to pick up an instrument or to start singing?
Hmm. You want to start that one, Wes?
Sure. Well, for me, I grew up singing in church.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that happened. I mean, it, you know, we won't get into whether or not that was a choice.
for many of us, it's not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, I do, you know, by no means do I regret that, because it did, just by doing it every week, it did teach me to sing.
Yeah.
And I actually learned harmonies because people just kind of, I don't know if they're trained or they just naturally learned harmonies from singing in church, but that's kind of just from hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it worked for me. So singing became a thing for me. You know, still to this day, I really like gospel music.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could, even if you're an atheist, how you couldn't like gospel music. Because it, you know, it definitely has the roots.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the gospel musicians who became, you know, rock and rollers or R&B artists and whatnot. But anyways, getting to the point, I didn't actually think playing music was cool. I didn't think playing the piano was cool at all. I thought playing sports was the thing mm-hmm. to do. And so, but I still did it. I guess I did it kind of like, you know, without my friends knowing, in a way.
The secret musician.
And so, yeah. And then it wasn't until later on, till kind of the end of high school, that I really got into the guitar and picked that one up. And then that, there was something about the guitar that just helped me, get a better understanding of the piano. And then I also was taking drum lessons, kind of toward my junior, I think my sophomore through my senior year of high school,
okay.
taking drum lessons. So drums, I was in bands in high school, but we never really got anywhere. We not, you know, other than just talking and getting into trouble. So,
yeah.
So basically once the guitar happened, that's when I started just writing really bad songs. And then eventually just, you know, through encouragement of friends and them probably being way nicer than they should have been, saying, that's kind of cool, you know, when it probably was painful to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, I think just getting that encouragement from friends and family and just letting them kind of, you know, I still kind of, you know, essentially we're all still doing the same thing. We're all still trying out songs in mm-hmm. front of our friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of how it evolved for me.
How about you?
Sure. There was a period of my life where we lived in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a mixed background. It wasn't a very diverse neighborhood. So I started to always like, I think, perform, and I saw that it was a way for me to connect with people.
Cool.
In a way that I wasn't able to before, and to express all of my emotions, mm-hmm. no matter how intense they may be, and it be a safe environment to do that. So I realized that that was my niche, the arts in general, whether it was musical theater or singing. It was like my saving grace to be able to sing and to yeah. release something I couldn't in other places.
You have a very powerful and incredible voice. You're welcome. When did you discover your voice, if that's even a question?
You know, that's a good question. I think I've always like believed in reincarnation, and I'm glad that like I'm starting to get some years on me that now maybe it starts to match me.
But even when
I was a little girl, they would say I had like an old black lady stuck inside of me.
Oh yeah.
Big black lady. I don't know. That's a good question. It's just always been there. I don't know if it's because I feel so much, all the emotions that makes it so big.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what causes it, but I've always had that.
That's cool. That's that soul that's escaping from you, right? It's like they're like trapped in. It's like, let me go when you're a little girl, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. All right, so this is a question I wanted to ask you too, because specifically about what's going on right now in the world, and there's a lot of stress and anxiety we all get day to day. And if you can think of one album that you can put on your headphones, and if you're having a stressed out day, you're feeling anxious, you know, it's just kind of a day, what's an album you can put on that will make you feel refreshed?
I thought about that earlier, and the first one that came to mind, and I think it is because it reminds me of driving with friends like in Santa Barbara along the water,
yeah.
is Into the Mystic by Van Morrison. He also has a lot of soul.
Yes, indeed he does. That's a good choice.
That is a good choice.
I got to check that one out.
So we can only pick one? It would just it's kind of like a deserted island one?
Sure, yeah. I mean, you could pick just a specific artist or a couple artists. You know, I'm not trying to pin you down here sure. and squeeze some, you know, just whatever you feel could help people out.
I think OK Computer, really, just because that one feels like you're in space.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you're not in it. It was the first ever album that I, of course, like I think Dark Side of the Moon, you know, that one is arguably considered one of the best recorded albums of all time.
Yeah.
And I pretty much agree. But I think OK Computer was kind of like my era's Dark Side of the Moon in a way.
Oh, okay.
So I don't even know if that would be how you consider an era, but I think that one, just because that was really the one, kind of the cliche statement of that was the one that kind of changed forever. But I also would say Jeff Buckley's Grace.
Oh yeah.
You know, that is just like a perfect album, for lack of there's numerous ways to describe it, but that one is pretty flawless and amazing. So that would be another one. And both of those, I think, just kind of take you. And I say those two. I would also say, you know, some artists for me, like Beethoven, if I listen to Beethoven and Chopin, some classical artists as well, and really a lot of the blues, you know, the whole purpose is to kind of take your mind off reality.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that's what I was asking. Like, it's so difficult to say one. So if I was going and living on a desert island, I think it would be hard for me. I think I'd probably just be like, I guess I'm going to go without it and just write my own music while I'm on this island.
There you go.
Because I don't think I could take just one.
Hmm.
And also, it would be kind of terrible to go with one album on a desert island, because then you're just going to be writing music just like that album.
Yeah. And you're going to wind up hating the album because you listen to it too many times, right?
Exactly. And it's going to make you insane.
Yeah, yeah. You want to ruin something you love? No, yeah. I don't think so.
Exactly.
So there's no time frame, obviously, like with what's going on. We don't know. Things are changing, you know, daily, hourly almost. But let's imagine things get back to some semblance of normalcy, and what they're saying is the new normal, quote unquote. What are some of your goals and you know, plans for Alina West, within the next year or so? Or a couple of years?
We definitely are working on another EP.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'd like to increase our following. And we've started to branch out a bit out of Seattle.
Yeah.
We went to Canada and we went to Portland. I think that there's a broader audience for us that exists.
Right on. Well,
yeah, I would just second exactly what she just said. I mean, for me, I love recording. I love being able to produce. And so that's really fun for me. And so that's really exciting. And then, unfortunately, our only choice is kind of looking ahead. So now as far as playing live shows, it may not be until 2021.
Yeah.
We don't really know. But, you know, what we can hope for is that, considering that we're all going through this and we're all getting through this together, we can hope that more people will come to a greater appreciation of life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like she said, increasing the following, you know, that's not something I try to spend a whole lot of time thinking of, but hopefully it's going to, I think it will.
Maybe
I shouldn't even say hopefully. I think it will kind of just increase in appreciation for art in general and how important it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll all start to realize that first show back, how much we missed it and how amazing that energy and being in that space. So looking forward to it, you know, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Where can we find your music? And speaking of following, where can we follow you guys?
Sure. We're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. You can get our music on Bandcamp. We like that because we see the money.
Absolutely.
The fastest there.
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah.
But of course, all of the digital platforms that you can think of.
Awesome. So do you guys have any shout outs and thank yous you would like to send out before we play a couple more songs from you?
Sure. I'd like to thank, I hope I don't butcher the pronunciation, Renee Iyuma Aluhu, for organizing the Artist Relief Fund.
Yeah.
That was pretty amazing to see all the people that are contributing anonymously and not anonymously, to sponsoring gigs for you. All of the McKinsey McEnich, all the people that are constantly sharing resources.
Yeah.
It's like the 6 degrees. Grateful to be a part of that. Also the Office of Film and Music.
And Wes, how about you?
Thanks to all our fans and family and friends. And yeah, I mean, just really any organization that is supporting artists at this time, because, you know, especially to the ones who this is their living, you mm-hmm. know, and how hard that's been. So, you know, it's a tough time for everyone.
Yeah.
But it seemingly is a tougher time for those who rely on playing live music and making a living that way. So again, just an appreciation for all those organizations and you know, even you mentioned earlier, Kevin, about you know, the live streaming and kind of the change to that, and also supporting those artists who are you know, switching towards the only option we have now, which is live streaming. So.
On a dime, just instantly, just switching, like, okay, I guess I'm going to do this now.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So we're going to go into two more songs, Still Want More and The Constructs of Time, but I wanted to give you guys a chance. Do you have any words of advice or encouragement for anyone who's listening and, you know, obviously doing the same thing that we're doing, staying home, staying safe?
I would say, you know, I'm no sound engineer, but Wes is patiently answering all my questions about Logic. And for all the people that don't really want to go there, I think you got to just jump in with the technology and figure it out.
YouTube has been my saving grace. There are, and I would like to personally thank anyone who has ever made a YouTube tutorial, because that is really cool. That is an outlet to spend a lot of time on. If you want to learn, something new, go to YouTube, search, hey, how do I do this? And
Such a good point. YouTube is in maybe an underappreciated and underrated community. I mean, it really is a community that you can get. I mean, you need to fix something in your car, you can go to YouTube. You need to figure out how to grow an apple tree, you can go to YouTube. You need to figure out how to poach an egg, which that's what I did this morning. I went to YouTube. So anyways, but as far as encouragement, I would second what Aline's saying, which basically is, you know, look for ways to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
I think now is a very important time to challenge yourself and learn something new.
Yeah.
I think, you know, learning something new, essentially the beginning of it completely sucks. It's very difficult, especially if it's a brand new thing and you haven't really dipped your toes in it. But when you get better at it every day and you eventually get to see the fruition of it, it can be really exciting. And just creating new challenges, that's the only way I've kind of been able to, you know, save my sanity, is just creating new challenges pretty much daily.
Yeah.
And whether that be musically and as well as spiritually, as well as physically, you know, really those three things. And also just stay in contact with as much as your friends and family as possible.
Yeah.
I did a Zoom meeting with a couple of friends today that I haven't seen in a while, and it was very refreshing. So, you know, as simple as that is, even though you can't, you know, you can't get a bro hug in, you know, you can at least feel a little bit better. And even this, I mean, this is great.
Yeah.
The fact that we can do this, is important. So, you know, these are just words. The actions are different, but, you know, just be active, basically. You know, feel free to lay back and watch some Netflix, but, you know, limit yourself.
Yeah.
Be active as well.
I like that. Well, I am certainly trying to, you know, stay active too, but I do binge a little bit of TV here and there and eat some junk food.
That's necessary. I think it's important to relax for sure.
But learn something new and challenge yourself. I like that, man. Aline and Wes. My bad. All right.
Hey, that's
okay. Yeah, I got it. All right. Aline and Wes. And we're going to play two more songs, Still Want More and The Constructs of Time. Thank you so much for this. And I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Snake. and hinder, shooting up on the line, aiming for what's to come. You're far down, you get up, how is you? Time of engines, he's repeating. Falling into the constructs of time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.